Now, I've got an accumulation of people in the studio, and the reason why they're here is because some mad fool decided that he was going to get on his bike and cycle around a massive part of Australia. So we should bring in all of the team gradually. But first of all, we want to talk to Jackie, who is the wife of this said crazy person that's got on his bike. Just move yourself around to that microphone there and welcome Jackie. Is it Jackie Gregory, isn't it?
It is.
Are you feeling all right?
No, I've got a cold, which Ian kindly left me before he went to Oz.
Oh, so he's had it and left it with
yeah,
you?
Yeah, he's had it and now I've got it.
And then we're all going to get it now as well, aren't we?
I like to share.
I've noticed there's a young lady called Sarah that's just arrived, has found out that you've got a cold, and she's now thinking, why couldn't I have just done this on the phone? Or I could do it on a microphone outside the studio. Are you missing him? Now, be honest, because he may be listening.
I am missing him. It's
somebody kicked you then to tell you that. God, say it. You missed it. You're not. You said off it.
No,
you were.
I am missing. He's only been gone a few days.
All right.
So give it, you know, another few days, and it'll be kind of like okay.
Okay, let's just recap then, because Ian came in a couple of weeks ago. He's travelled up to London, got on a plane, two planes to get to Australia. There he is. He's been out there for a couple of days. What's the term now, the technical term that's going on? Is he acclimatising or is he just...
He's just acclimatising. He got out there... I can't find my days. He was out there on the 3rd, so it was like the 2nd.
Right.
And that day they went out on a bike. He got there, I think it was about 7 o'clock in the morning, something like that. And he was pretty batty. Flight wasn't fantastic. 11-hour stopover in China wasn't great. But no, they went out... they went out and about, and then that evening they cycled to a friend's, had tea, cycled back. It was only a couple of kilometres. And then yesterday they were out and about, and I think today I spoke to him this morning, so it's their evening, so tomorrow they're out and about as well.
Okay.
Just acclimatising.
And just remind us, he's going to start the ride, which takes him around a massive part of Australia. When does he start the ride?
I think it's the 8th. I think.
You think?
Yeah.
He is actually there, isn't he? just got cleared off for a month. Yeah, I'm going to do this.
I think. Oh, my date's all over the place. I've got okay. So much going on, it's just kind of like... But I think it's the 8th.
Okay, so on the 8th, he gets on his bike, and that's every day for something like 12 hours a day he's going to be cycling.
I think the first week's going to be the hardest. Because obviously it's the first part, but it's, I think it's something like 1,200 kilometres.
Right.
In that week.
Okay. And while he's doing that, you guys are all going to be involved with raising funds and making sure that all his hard work, pays off. So there's 5 charities. We're going to come to each and every one of you, so we all get a chance to promote. But there is one charity that you're actually linked with, which is one of the charities. Just tell us about it.
Prostate cancer. That one.
Yeah, that one.
It was just the fact that he did this cycle ride 2 years ago, Grand Depart in France, and his uncle, we'd lost his uncle to prostate cancer, and it was like, actually, people just don't know about it, or they don't talk about it, and we started doing a few bits and bobs, and then it kind of like rollercoastered, and it's just, it's my life now.
Good for you. Good for you. I mean, you know, it's bringing awareness and so on and so forth. We had the conversation when he was last in that, you know, men don't like to talk about it.
No.
So we broke down the barriers a bit, and we had a little conversation. And I now know what it's all about. It's just one of those things. And I'm one of those guys that's very guilty of, don't know what it is, don't need to know. It'll happen when it, but that's not the case. You need to know about it as you get older as well.
Yeah, and it's surprising how many people that we've seen, like the first year that we were doing it, and they've taken our leaflets because they've had a bit of a niggle, and they've come up to us at other events last year, and they've said that they went and got checked. A couple of them had it, and they're, you know, having treatment. So it's, you know, and it's surprising how many women want to talk about it as well, the wives. Right. You know, it's the case of, well, he won't tell me anything, you know, can you tell me such and such, and are there any helplines that we can talk to and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, it's there's some real heartbreakers out there, but then there's some real good ones where they come back and they say, you know, if we hadn't put your leaflet up, we wouldn't have bothered.
How does all this work now with the financial side of things and the funds? How do people, when they hear this and when they read about him on Facebook, they hear more on the radio about what he's doing, how do they get involved? How do they give money? And how do they pick a charity? Because it's five. You haven't just done one charity. It's five. It's very complicated. So how does it all work?
It all goes into... Well, at the moment, we've got two running. We've got the GoFundMe, which helps out with Ian's costs in Australia. And that's more aimed at businesses that they can promote with us. That's on Facebook. Or we've just set up the other one, and that's like the five charities. And whatever goes into those charities will get split evenly between all five charities. So it's a case of, if people want to turn around and say, oh, well, I've only got a tenner, great, put a tenner in, put a fiver in. Every part of the charity will get something. So it's all going to be split,
Okay, so when my mum, 84, says, how do I give my money? How does she give her money? And break it down. Remember, she's 84.
Right, well, I'm going to pass over to Joe on that one because he's more technical than I am.
All right, Joe. Come on, Joe, get on that microphone and tell us, don't touch it.
Don't touch it.
Microphones are for talking in, not touching.
There's a couple of ways, really. The main way is to go online. So we've got a Virgin Money site that they can go on to through Facebook. If they search on Facebook for White Unity Heroes, they'll find the event page. There's a Virgin Money site on there that they can click on, and they can donate on there, and Virgin Money will work out the gift aid for them and make sure that that money comes to us. Alternatively, there will be events throughout the year when Ian does get back to England, to the UK. There will be some events going on throughout the year that we'll publicise in advance as well. So if they aren't online, but they do want to give that money, they will have that opportunity to still come along, put the money into the bucket, and make sure that money goes to a good cause.
Okay, so it's online. That's how you can give. And what was the details again?
It's Virgin Money Giving. Maybe during this show we can give the exact site, but if they look through Facebook for the White Unity Heroes, the link's on there, and they'll be able to find it.
Okay, I'm sure you're going to get a lot of people doing that, but what about the old-fashioned way? My mum's 84. There are many people, as we know, there's a lot of old people on the island that maybe don't have use of internet and so on. How do they help? How do they give money?
If they're really desperate to want to give money during January, I'm sure that if they know where Challenge of an Adventure is, or they know the Isle of Wight Zoo, that they'd be able to pop in, because they're two static venues where they would be able to pop in and say, I want to give this money. If they pop into an envelope and make sure they just write on it that it's for the White Unity Heroes, then they would be able to give that to either the Isle of Wight Zoo or I'm sure to Challenge an Adventure would be okay.
Okay, tell us about Joe, because Joe would be thinking out. Joe's involved. Hello. How are you involved?
I'm from Isle of Wight Pride. I'm involved with the Isle of Wight Pride, which this year, now we can say it officially, 2018 is UK Pride. We held our first ever Pride on the Isle of Wight last year, and we met up with Ian at the Local Heroes Award that was held in September. And Ian said that he really wanted to get Isle of Wight Pride involved in this venture, and he wanted to raise money for the Isle of Wight Pride next year.
Good on him, and obviously good on you as well. And I hope later this year goes really well. Just tell us about that event, because is it July?
Yeah, it's Saturday, 21st of July. We're hoping to make it more of a weekend event this year, so we're hoping to do a bit of beach sport on the Friday, but the main event's on the Saturday. We're going to have our parade again through the heart of Ryde on at midday, and then a much larger event down on Ryde seafront, where we're going to have a spoken word, we're going to have entertainment, a lot of family friendly entertainment again, because it's really great that last year was really a family friendly event. It's just the opportunity for everyone to come down and just celebrate the diversity of the island, celebrate the fact we're all equal.
There was so much positivity that came out of that event last year. Really was. It was a real good buzz. And I'm hoping that gets bigger and better every year. Because it's about blooming time, isn't it?
It is about time. Yeah. And we're really lucky in this country. Really lucky in this country to be able to live in the free way that we can. That the laws of this country allow us to get married, to have equal marriage, to live our lives without kind of fear of being arrested or being killed. Unfortunately, there are people around the world where they're not that free and equal, and part of what Ian's actually going to do on his cycle tour whilst he's over in Australia. He's dedicating 72 miles of his tour to the fact that, A, it kind of coincides with the Isle of Wight 72 miles going round, but there's also 72 countries in the world at the moment where it's still illegal to be LGBT, which
good
is
great,
yeah,
really?
Crazy, absolutely crazy.
That is,
yeah.
That one's, and I say that one's looking at, doesn't it? That really does.
Yeah. So Ian's doing a fantastic job of trying to raise awareness of the fact that, yeah, crazy that there are 72 countries where it's still laws against being LGBT. And there's actually a lot more countries than that where there's specific small laws against transgender people, against different parts of the LGBT umbrella. So it's just trying to raise that awareness that, yes, we are lucky in this country, but there are other countries where we need to kind of stand up for their rights as well.
Isn't it lovely? We've come so, you know, so far that we can now talk about it freely. We can do it. I was watching a programme the other night, The Miniaturist. And I don't know if you saw that, and it was horrific. It was horrible, and it was and I sat there thinking, I'm so glad that things have moved on. Will you come back and do a lunchtime social?
Just completely.
on that topic.
Absolutely,
that'll be great. We get you back in for that. We're going to come back and talk to you in a moment. We're going to bring in someone really, really important in a minute. We're just going to move that microphone around, and she's going to move around there. And we're going to bring in Sarah. Sarah.
Oh, hi.
Sarah.
Wasn't expecting to be the important person.
How do you say your... Is it Leahy?
Leahy.
Leahy.
Yeah. It's
that sounds
Irish.
Like someone laughing, doesn't it?
I have been called Sarah Teehy before.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'd take that.
it's cooler, actually, isn't it? I'm gonna change my...
how are you involved in all of this, then?
I'm a trustee of Layla's Trust, which is a local children's charity. We support families, bereaved families who have lost children. We also support families who have children who have life-limiting illnesses or life-limiting disabilities as well. So, again, Ian kind of got in touch... we were surprised he'd even heard of us because we are probably one of the smaller charities involved, and he said that he wanted to raise money for us, so we were very excited to take part.
Why are you one of the smallest charities? Because I just think when you go through that you know, you can't, I've never been through it, so I can only imagine, but you honestly look at people and you think there should be help for them, there should be this, there should be that for them. So why are you the smallest? Why doesn't everybody know about you?
I think part of it is that we're run completely by volunteers. So we all have full-time jobs. We've all got children ourselves, etc. So we just haven't had the capability to become bigger. I think what we've achieved in the 6 years, having said that, you know, we're run by volunteers, is actually really impressive. But I think, you know, it's just trying to get your name out there, really, and get people to hear what we're all about and what we're doing.
Good for you. And how long have you been involved?
I've been involved since the offset. Emma and Coleman Cotter, who are Layla's mummy and daddy, they set up the charity. They're very good friends of mine, and they asked me to get involved, and I was, you know, more than willing to do my bit and try and help in some way.
Excellent. And again, you know, I'd love for you to come back in and talk more about it, so we've got more awareness. I mean, we've got five charities. There's an awful lot to talk about in 1 hour. So, you know, please come back and talk about, you know, in the future. Because there must be... I'm a great believer in, if we talk about things, we make things better and we make things more... We're understanding... and we don't sort of... I mean, I have no knowledge of what people have to go through. You can only imagine. I saw some little kid on the TV yesterday that had a some skin issue, and it was, you were watching it and you're thinking, and they say, "Oh, his life's limited," and you're just saying, "How sad is that?" And all of a sudden, you're kind of interested in it, because we very much of the day we go by without seeing or feeling anything like that, so we don't know, and we just shove it under the carpet, don't want to talk about it because it's too horrible. But we should be more, you know, we should the more we talk about it, the more knowledgeable we get and more respectful we get as well.
Absolutely.
So anyway, we're going to bring you back in a mo.
Thank you.
But there's a lady there that's been here. She was here first. I've got to be honest with you. She was here first. She was here before anybody else. She's turned up on time. Yeah, and it's lovely just to introduce yourself. I've forgotten who you are.
Have you? I'm Karen Eales with Challenge and Adventure.
I remember now.
You remember now? I remember that broom cupboard.
Hang on, that's
right. Another story.
I'm just thinking, Boris Becker, what's going on? So the room cupboard that Karen is referring to is the one that we used to broadcast from the Key Arts when we first started.
Yeah,
and you were
brilliant.
The very first guest.
Oh, my goodness.
All those years ago. And we've actually got a little video that we've got on Facebook at the moment. So we're going to show it now. It's already on Facebook. Millions of people have seen it already.
And
there's a picture of you in the broom cupboard.
Oh, no.
And Boris Becker's not in view at all. So obviously things have changed since that day. You're head of challenge and adventure, is it?
I'm not really head. I'm just one of the workers. Now, I'm head of fundraising. So, they've been going 25 years. So I've been there 4 years now, so...
Wow. Mm. So
interesting.
So come on, tell us all about it.
We work with challenging and disadvantaged young island people from the ages of 12 to 20, sometimes a little bit older. And we used to work with the younger age group, 12 to 16, but we're now working more with the 16 to 20-year-olds, working in conjunction with HCP, so we can actually do things like maths and English, try and get these young people back into some form of education. Mm. Or some form of work. So it's difficult because what we do is we do outdoor activities with them. And everybody goes to me, oh my goodness, are you going to reward these naughty children with going out for a nice bike ride or kayaking or walking? But these young people don't want to do that. They don't want to even get out of bed. So it's about motivating and getting these young people back into the community, because a lot of them have had lots of troubles in their life, and it's massively rewarding when you see the change that you can make in these young people. And as I say, we've been doing it quietly for 25 years. We haven't had to need funding because we were funded by the Isle of Wight Council. But unfortunately, that's all dried up, and we now have to raise money.
Which, again, you forget, or we don't know, or we're not aware of, just how many kids out there that are struggling.
Yeah, that's
right. You know, and really, really struggling. I mean, we've been running the 4Ps now for about 4.5 years, and you kind of see a very small element of. We've had 150-odd kids come through and done the course, and most of those youngsters have some kind of issue, some kind of problem.
Mm-hmm.
But you give them a microphone and some stuff to do, and that they can prove that they're as equal to anyone else as, you know, and that's the lovely thing about
that's
it.
That's right.
So when you know that there are, you know, and say we've almost got to go searching, but then all of a sudden the door opens and you realise that there's all these kids with problems and struggling,
yeah.
And somebody's got to help them, because otherwise what's going to happen?
That's right. Yeah.
The sad thing is that, you know, when they get to 20, 25, what happens then?
Mm.
Have we got anything in place for that? Does it cater just for X amount of ages, or?
Yeah, I think we see before we were taking the younger ones, that's the problem we've got at the moment. We need to take the younger, the school age, but the schools haven't got the funding, so that's why I come into it, that I have to raise the money for those. When they get to 16, we can get some form of government grant, so we can keep these young people till they're 20,
right,
and try and get them into some form of education or into some employment, hopefully. We do get them onto apprenticeship schemes, but it's difficult.
That's the problem, is it? Later on in life, it's okay when they get to 20. If you can put some kind of platform down where they can better themselves and they can take that forward and they can get jobs and so on and so forth, so they look after themselves. It's beyond that that's the issue. But in the meantime, the work that you're doing is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to ask you how many people that you know we think that we've got. There's more than there should be.
Yeah. Day on, we get phone calls day in, day out, saying, can you help? You know, it is quite sad, but there are massive rewards when you see the turnaround of these young people. I mean, we had one recently. She's now gone on to working with older people in homes, and she took her, we do Duke of Edinburgh Award with them, and I did a bit of cooking with her, and I'm not the best cook in the world.
No,
she didn't.
I have heard.
You have heard. Yeah, you've spoken to my husband. And she didn't even want to get out of the minibus the first day, and I thought, what am I going to do? What am I going to cook with her? And we did 12 weeks of cooking, and we were making cakes, we were making dinners. And she ended up doing a presentation evening, all the sausage rolls, all the mince pies. She did masses. And she got her bronze award. And I was so proud when she stood up and said the best bit of her bronze award was the cooking. So I think I've made it.
You have.
I've made it in life.
Yeah. Have you improved as a cook?
I think I might have done that. I'd never made a meringue pie in all my life. And she went, oh, that's what I want to make next week. I'm like, oh.
How brilliant is that? But do you know what the thing is here? You can't put a price on that, can you?
No.
That youngster, without that, where was she? Where was she going?
Exactly. She was in foster care, this young person. Yeah. And she's gone on to do... So proud of her. So, so proud of her.
Do you know, so many people, myself included, until a couple of years ago, maybe 5, maybe 6, 7 years ago, you think foster care, you just think, what's that? It's just a word.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's actually kids that are in foster care. Yeah. It's what it is. Yeah. And there are more than we actually realise. And it's maybe, you know, by discussing it, by getting it out and talking about it, become more aware of what's around. I mean, a young lady came in a little while ago and she was talking about old people homes. That's what we used to call them.
Yeah, that's right.
And she said, I said to her, how many are in Newport? And she said, oh, about 10. And I said, what? You mean that when I go walking around the streets of Newport, there's 10 homes here with lots of people in that are in these kind of homes, and you just don't realise?
You don't, no.
You just take it all for granted that they're somewhere but not here. But they are. You know, people with problems, they're right here on the doorstep, and there's more than you realise.
And you also don't understand other people's lives because you live in your lovely houses with your lovely family. I remember when I first started, it was Christmas, and in January we were all sitting talking about what we did over Christmas. I remember one of our young people saying to me, what do you mean we didn't have presents?
Mm-hmm.
And I felt terrible that I'd even mention it. But she said, oh, we had vodka in the fridge though. And then I thought, oh, do you know, you just don't. But she had known no different all her life. She'd never had presents. And you just assume that everybody does.
Just opens your eyes, doesn't it?
Oh, gosh,
it really does.
Big learning curve, big learning curve.
We're going to come back to you in a minute, okay. All right? Because you've had your moment, all right?
And we're going now, getting out this cupboard.
We're going to bring it. Is it Charlotte now? So just get yourself around there on that microphone, Charlotte. And I'm glad you could, you know, you made it, because obviously you struggled to get
in.
Yeah,
well, I struggle generally, to be honest, when it comes to navigation and parking and all those things that to other people are commonplace in their everyday. And to me, I find them a constant challenge. But eventually, thanks to kind help and support, I did manage to get myself here. So
yeah,
quite proud about that.
When you went out, because you came in and you said, I'm parked somewhere, but I haven't paid for a ticket.
Correct.
Because you didn't know how to get round, you know, because there's the system now, the bridge is closed. When you left... Oh, Karen Hill, she said, oh, it's amazing how she got here, isn't it? She's come from Sandown.
Yeah, well, that's about it. And I don't have the common sense to actually stop and read the, you know, massive yolk yellow sign that actually tells you what to do when it's telling you you can't enter. So I was going to risk it, actually, because it's all in a good cause. So I kind of thought, I'll risk it, but, you know... For Ian. I'll risk a parking ticket for Ian.
Thank you.
Who's cycling
halfway around Australia
for us.
Anything like that for me. I know that when Ian Gregory was in before, he was talking about Sandown Zoo and the reason why he wanted you as one of the charities. He said that he used to see was his father walking up and down the beach on a Sunday morning with a tiger and so on, and he said that's what he wanted. Because there's so much more than that.
That's right. And so when I first had the phone conversation with Ian, it was really nice just to sort of mutually reminisce about those days. And it was quite a long time ago now. My father, my mother brought the zoo when I was just a kid in 1976. And in those days, that was the kind of thing that we'd do on a Sunday morning, you know, take tigers for a walk on the beach. And it's become a bit of a sort of old wives' tale, if you like, on the island, but it did happen and it doesn't happen anymore. So everyone can rest assured if they're going out for a stroll on Yavlin Beach this Sunday coming, they won't meet a tiger coming the other way. But we did used to get up to all those sorts of fun things before health and safety. And
why can't
like
you
that.
Now then? Is it just down to health and safety?
To be honest, nobody ever told us that we couldn't. We just sort of made a executive decision. No, we didn't. We just kind of stopped doing it because the tigers got a certain size and then we weren't getting younger ones. And I suppose times were changing and we thought it's probably best that we don't re-engage with this activity. But we had no problems. And in fact, I used to take one of my tigers, who's now 22, out for a walk. And we used to meet regularly a guy with a Jack Russell. And my tiger would hide behind me and wait until the Jack Russell had passed because she was scared stiff. So... Yeah, they're not quite as fearsome as people think they are, especially when they're out of their own territory.
Jack Russell's, oh, phew, don't mess with them.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. So you're involved as well. You are the fifth charity.
Yes. So basically, I'm the CEO and founder of the Wild Heart Trust, which is our charity that now operates the zoo. As of April this year, the zoo became part of that charity. So effectively was handed over from the family, if you like. Obviously, I lost my father 2003, so a long time ago now, and I've been running the zoo and decided that it was the right time and it's the right territory for a zoo really to be a charity rather than privately owned. So we were very proud to launch in April of this year. And Ian, of course, because of his affinity growing up and visiting the zoo, was interested in helping. And so I explained about the new charity kicking in, and it was all really good timing.
That's brilliant. I mean, to hand over like the whole business to make a charity, that's quite a generous thing, isn't it?
Well, it was a lot of consideration, and I have to say a fair amount of procrastination on my part, spanning several years. It's a very personal thing, and it's like, you know, sort of, the zoo is our family, if you like, you know, and every animal in it. So I had to get my head around the fact that I wasn't just sort of giving it away. You know, it's still very much cared for by myself and people that I know and trust as trustees. But obviously we're expanding, and times will change, but I felt it was really important to make sure that, you know, it was in very, very, very good hands at this very sensitive time. So I've engaged people that I know and trust to come on board as trustees.
Do you know, one of the funniest times ever for me was at Sandown Zoo, and I took my son there, and there was this time where these two tortoises were like banging against each other, and I just thought they were fighting. But
so
obviously,
sweet. How innocent. Yeah, we've got quite a few stories. Probably shouldn't really speak about them on air at this time of the day, but similar things. Yeah.
I was 43 at the time, and I didn't really understand what was going on. Someone will explain it one day, I'm sure.
But funny then that you mentioned tortoise, because I think I sent a tweet out the other day and said something about, you know, let's hope that Ian has the tenacity of a tortoise in love, you know, whilst he's putting his heart where his bottom is, and cycling for all of us. So, yeah.
There were some funny expressions on faces then when you mentioned...
Really? Sorry, I wasn't looking.
We did have a chat with Ian about the amount of cream that he's got to apply over the next 3 or 4 weeks. I don't...
Who's applying that? Is that self-applied?
I don't know.
I hope so.
I thought that's why you had a wife, but obviously he's left a wife behind and so on.
Let's not ask that question, I think, maybe.
No.
let's leave that for off-air.
So let's hope that we can raise as many pounds as possible for the five wonderful charities. And just tell us, how does it all work with you? Because people can see how the other charities, how that can work. How can it work? How does it work with you?
It's a good question. The work that we do is sort of three-pronged, really. We give refuge and forever homes to animals that need them and don't have other options. And at the moment, we're working to bring in some circus tigers that are currently living in Spain that have been badly treated and need a home. And we're building facilities to enable us to bring them in. So projects like that are ongoing. Also, we obviously do a lot of work sort of connecting people to wildlife and building compassion. And that's a big part of what the charity desires to do. And you just mentioned yourself about we need to talk about things, and there's so many things going on in the world, and you're sort of sometimes feel like you're competing, but actually I think this just demonstrates that it's more about unity and the fact that it's a diverse world, and obviously the natural world is a big part of our world, and we need to talk about it and love it and build connections towards it. And so that's what a lot of what we do. And also we directly fund conservation work in Madagascar, India, and help here on the island as well. So by helping the Wild Heart Trust and the Isle of Wight Zoo, you're sort of, you know, donating into quite an interesting pot, I suppose.
I think the awareness has been... if you can hear a funny little noise in the background...
We're not strangling,
I don't
Jackie.
Know what she's doing. Are you trying... Is that was it. Are you trying to suppress one of those? There was the recent programme with David Attenborough, and you think, this is 4 years in the making, when he makes you run a programme like that, and you think, well, hang on a minute, what are we doing in the meantime? We're not talking about it, and we're not raising awareness. So how do we do that? How do we raise more awareness? Because you just mentioned, you know, tigers in other countries that are struggling and they've got problems, and they come over here and so on. Mm. We don't hear that very often. We hear more of Jamie Redknapp not wearing his wedding ring and, you know, splitting up with Jamie's
wife. I know,
wife.
And I think, you know, something that we're really aware of is something called biophobia. It's certainly in our industry, if you like, where people get phobic about hearing bad news about things, about, you know, wildlife and everything. So we have to be really careful to balance good news stories and bad news stories to keep people motivated. So I think TV is really important, obviously, because it reaches a lot of people. Social media is increasingly important. It has a fantastic reach. But you can't beat coming to meet animals in the flesh and kind of looking in their eyes and feeling, you know, something about who they are. And so we hope that by bringing these tigers to the island when they arrive, obviously, you know, we invite people to come and meet them, and hopefully those things will help to sort of spread the wider word. But it's, you know, we are definitely living in challenging times, I think, on this planet, you know, in our history. You know, we're living in a really critical time to make differences that will span, you know, probably even millions of years. If you think about some of the damage that we've done and the fact that that can't be reversed, we can now really try and sort of make a positive difference, so...
Okay. Well, look, for now, we'll say thank you, and we'll come back to you in a wee while. We're heading towards a quick commercial break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the ride itself. We're going to talk about how stupid he's being, and so on and so forth, and find out a little bit more about the charities that are right here on our doorstep. And then every one of them is important, and every one of them should have some more airtime so we know more about why they're actually raising money and why they actually need it. I mean, it's incredible. I can't believe we've got five people in here talking about five different charities, and we're going to squeeze it all into 1 hour, so we might have to sort of overlap the next show. All right, it didn't go down very well. No, they're all thinking she's got a cold. I don't want to be in here any longer than I need to be. All right, so we'll take a quick break, and then we will come back with part two, and we'll find out just exactly how we can give our money to these charities.
This show is sponsored by God's Providence House. Find us in St Thomas Square, Newport, for great homemade meals, cream teas and cakes. They're open from 9 till 5 all the year round. Find us on Facebook or call us on 522 085.
Your community, your local station. We are your Vectis Radio. FM 104.6 and online at vectisradio.com.
The White Military and Heritage Museum. Situated on the main Cows to Newport Road, the museum will excite your senses. Adults and children of all ages can experience the surge of adrenaline on an armoured vehicle ride around the tank track. For a real treat, why not try a ride in one of the Centurion tanks? There's also a covered rifle range to test your shooting skills. Enjoy refreshments in the cafe or the mess bar. Come along to the White Military and Heritage Museum, where you will be welcomed with open arms by our volunteer team. All profits are redistributed among armed service charities. Call 01983 300037 for more details or to book your ride.
As a business, you have a legal responsibility to dispose of your waste in line with current government legislation. Island Environmental Hygiene Limited are an island company specialising in the collection of sanitary, clinical and hazardous waste, working closely with the Environment Agency to ensure your waste is disposed of legally. Our services are tailored to meet your needs. To find out more, visit islandhygiene.com or call 721 943.
Do you get annoyed with computerised call centres with multiple options, traffic congestion at Coppins Bridge, or perhaps your kids and family on the internet all the time? Well, it sounds like you need to relax and unwind with your family around Treble B's unique island handmade braziers with integral barbecue or fire pit. Order now. Call Neil at Treble B on 0770 331 773 or email trebleb.iow@gmail.com. A product for all seasons.
Dave, there's water coming in the porch again. We're going to need new vinyl.
No problem. Carpets, etc. I've got a remnant for that.
Oh, blimey. Jenny spilled a bottle of red on a carpet.
No problem. Carpets, etc. I've got a remnant for that.
Auntie Mabel's coming Friday and she's bringing the dogs. They're going to wreck the carpet.
Don't worry. Carpets, etc. I've got a remnant for that too. Don't miss Carpets, etc.'s huge remnants clearance sale. Now on. Find them at 26 Crocker Street, Newport. There's even free parking. Remember, you can't buy better than Carpets, etc.
Broadcasting to you from the Riverside Centre in Newport. This is your Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
This show is sponsored by God's Providence House. Find us in St Thomas Square, Newport for great homemade meals, cream teas and cakes. They're open from 9 till 5 all the year round. Find us on Facebook or call us on 522 085.
Welcome back to part two. We have in the studio an array of people. Some have got germs, some haven't. And I'm just sort of trying to steer clear of the ones that are coughing worse. See, I can tell just by body language, Sarah's clear of everything and she's trying to avoid Jackie, who's got a really, really bad cold. And Jackie's husband is down under at the moment in sort of, temperatures of around 38 degrees. We'd all like to be there at the moment, wouldn't we? Not so much cycling a bicycle. But anyway, Jackie, just get yourself a little bit closer to that microphone, but not to me. Because you are the one that's probably worst affected at the moment. Well, I mean, Karen's been coughing quite well as well, I've realised.
So it might have been Karen I called it off.
It might have been very quick. Anyway, look, you've just heard from Ian, who's in Australia at the moment. What time is it over there? Are they 12 hours behind us or 12 hours in front?
They're 11 hours in front of us, so it's...
He's up late, isn't he? You should tell him, go to bed. You've got a big... You got a big event coming up.
It's quarter to 12 at night.
He would be in bed by now, didn't he?
I know.
He's partying.
They're probably sat drinking wine, actually. They're probably just sat there having a few glasses of wine. They are actually listening, because I have actually had a message from Ian to say that Ian and Heath. Heath is the guy that Ian's staying with, say hi, and they are listening.
Heath?
Yes.
And is he like an Aussie? He's actually staying with him?
He's actually Canadian.
Oh, right, okay.
And he has been told that, you know, he's to look after Ian. And I did have a chat with him the other day, and I said to him, you know, he's in your hands. He's all yours now for the next month.
You've got to look after him.
Yeah.
Oh, just in case that wasn't you getting all emotional, that you had a
frog
in
your throat.
No, that
was me, kind of all right. Like,
no. And Ian, she's not missing you at all, by all accounts.
You're kidding. No, I am, but no,
The house is clean, you said. When you go to bed, when you get up, the house is clean, and during the day, the house is clean.
Cheers to that, Ian.
when does Ian get back?
I pick him up on the 29th of January.
Okay, is that the longest you've been away from each other?
Yeah, it is, actually.
That must be tough, yes. Wasn't it?
It's hard going. I mean, I don't think it's going to be as bad this time, because I've got, like, these guys. And, I mean, I've got my boys as well, my granddaughter, so she keeps me occupied.
Okay, so but it must be tough. I can't imagine being away from my wife for any length of time, especially that length of time, especially if she does the breakfast.
No, see, it's very rarely that I'm cooking breakfast, so...
Right.
You know, he's lucky if he gets a piece of toast thrown at him as he walks out the door every now and again, but...
Right, okay. So this he will get on his bike seriously and start cycling in, what do you say, about 3-4 days?
We're just kind of like looking that up because I kind of forgotten. He did say he's going to try and phone, but I don't know whether or not he's going to. I mean, he's got on here, it starts on the 3rd, but I know that they've got a few days to acclimatise and whatever. I have a feeling it's the 8th.
Right, the 8th. Does ring a bell.
Yeah, and then they catch a train up to, I think it's Canberra. Jump in here, guys, if I'm getting this wrong, because I probably am.
Yeah, no, it starts in Canberra.
And then that's kind of like the first... I know the first week is going to be a tough week for him.
Oh, he's ringing from Australia here.
Oh, he phoned
us. Put him on loudspeaker.
Hello? Hello?
How you doing, all right?
Oh, yeah.
Of course, it's as if he's in the room with us.
He's not. He's honestly not.
No, he isn't. He's good on
eye.
Speaker.
Good eye.
Oh. How you doing, all right?
Yeah, we're all right, yeah, thank you. And how are you? We're a bit worried about you because you're up late.
Well, we wanted to hear the interview. We wanted to see how you all got on.
Well,
sounds brilliant, very professional, very informative.
You can tell he's had a drink.
Yeah.
So we should just point out Ian's on speakerphone.
I've been hydrating. I'm on water.
Just on the water. That's good, because, you know, you... Well, just tell us, while we've got you online, it's the 8th that it all starts, yeah?
Yeah, we start out from Canberra on the 8th, and it's actually 1,210 miles in the first day, not kilometres, which basically takes us out to Sydney and then over to Adelaide.
Hang on, did you say...
Yeah, a bit of a trek.
1,200 miles in one day?
No, in a week.
In a week?
No. It's seven days.
Because that's like the length of the country and back again. That is an incredible feat, anyway, isn't it?
It will be certainly in the temperatures that we've got on the way. Certainly this weekend, we've got a temperature of 42 on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, wow. We're feeling quite sorry for you.
Warm and sunny here at the moment.
Well, just talk us through a normal day when you get started. Where you, what time do you hit the saddle and what time do you get out of it?
At the moment, we're just doing a few training, mate.
No, when you actually get into it on the 8th, just talk us through your day. What time do you get into the saddle, what time do you get out of it?
About 6 a.m. in the morning, and we're going to go through to about 9-10 o'clock at night. Obviously, we're going to stop and have breakfast, stop and have lunch, stop and have second lunch, and then stop and have dinner. We've got sort of like four stops per day planned, so that we can hydrate, we can eat. We're going to be going from, as I say, 6 in the morning, certainly through to at least 10 o'clock at night. The problem is the towns are around about 100 miles apart, so it's not like we can just decide to rock up and stop at a little shop or anything. It's a case of get from one town to the other.
Sounds like a whole load of fun, Ian. Really, I wish I was there with you.
Well, seriously, we're quite happy to wait for you.
I think it's cracking what you're doing. I really do. I'm just trying to imagine being in a saddle from 6 a.m. until 10 at night. I mean, I struggled on a little ride around the town.
To be honest, I'm just glad that he's over there, because normally when he does a ride here, he says to me at the end of the day, "Do you want to check my saddle sores?" And it's like, "No, thank you."
How long have you been married?
25 years.
I can't see newlyweds doing that, can you?
All I would say is just remember I've got a camera phone.
Thanks for that.
I missed that.
He's got a camera phone.
Oh, he's got a camera phone. Oh, great. Yeah, you're not going to post anything like that on Facebook, are you? Although people might feel sorry for you and might
give us
some
money.
More cash. Yeah, exactly.
No, don't say that.
This is what I'm...
This is Ian you're talking to. Don't tell him that.
Ian, that's what you should do. You should as soon as you get a sore, you should put a picture on it and say, "Look, this is the pain bearer. This is what I'm going through. This is what I'm doing."
Tag the bum sore.
Yeah. Well, that's right. I can start naming them, and hopefully get some donations in for this one and for that one.
You could sponsor a saw. Oh. I don't know where this is going. This is ridiculous. Oh, nice. Hey, look, Ian, if we don't get a chance to speak between now and then, I'm sure we won't, but I wish you a whole load of luck, and I just think, I hope your saddle and what goes on your saddle holds out and you get round. How many miles in total are you doing?
We want to try and hit 1,700 miles minimum. I would like to do, for the month of January, 2,000
miles. There's a song there coming, isn't there? The Proclaimers will probably get back together again and do that.
I think you probably need to do 2018, because it's the year 2018.
Yeah. There you go. That's a great idea. There's a reason why you're here, not just to give everybody a cold. And thank you, Ian, for the cold that I'm about to get. Apparently this came from you originally.
You're welcome. That's no problem at all. I brought it out to Melbourne with me, so we'll see whether or not he goes down with it as well.
That's very kind. I would imagine after their Australian flu, I would imagine they're very happy with you. You can just see him getting deported in a minute, can't you? Best of luck, Ian. We will follow this on Facebook, I'm sure. And if you feel like giving us a call one day, feel free.
Yeah, we'll do. Yeah, without doubt.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of the hours that you'll be in the saddle and able to make that telephone call. So maybe we should stick down some hard and fast rules. Not after 9 o'clock. All right. Are you going to bed now? Because you ought to be tucked up now, resting those weary bones.
Yeah, I'm going to go out and have another cigarette, and then I'm going off to bed.
That sounds great on every level, doesn't it? There he is, promoting good, healthy living. He's going out to have a cigarette before going off to bed. Oh, all right, well, sleep well.
I didn't think you'd like that one.
Good luck.
Do you want a moment now?
On your own?
No, it's fine.
You sure?
Yeah, well, honestly, it's fine.
I've
known you for a long time, Ian. It's fine.
Give him a kiss.
It's not going. Anything you want to say to your beloved wife who's missing you so much?
Yeah, I love you to bits, sweetheart.
Yeah, I love you too.
No.
That's it, everybody's quiet now.
See what we did there? We hung out for it and we got it. We got the scoop. Now go to bed. Night night, Ian.
See you later, all.
Bye.
Bye
bye.
There he was, gone then, and he's gone off to bed. You can just imagine he's lit one up now, and just incredible. Anyway, look, let's talk more about the charities. Let's talk individually. How can we? This isn't an individual thing, and it's something that Karen pointed out because I was going to take credit for this, but I thought, no, Karen, would kick me under the desk. It's great to see five charities working together.
I think it is. It's massively important that we do this.
So rather than give out everybody else's different pages, obviously we want to go through how do we give to the five charities. Is that something we've got to bring in Beardy Man again? Is he?
Well, we can go to Virgin Money.
Oh, you remember them?
I do remember because I set the page up. And if you just... I can do some things, Ian, all my years in fundraising. And if you just write in Karen Eels, it will take you straight to the page.
So you're good at that, aren't you? That's what you do. That's what you've always been good at that sort of thing.
Oh, so, don't know. I must have done something good over the years, or so I might have got the sack.
how lovely is it that there you are? People, I would imagine people come to you, don't they? Because you are like the lady that does.
I love fundraising and I love helping people, so you know it's good. And I, as I said before, it's really important that we're all working together. It's a lonely thing, fundraising.
Yeah,
it is a lonely thing. I am the only fundraiser at Challenge and Adventure. When I was at the hospice, I had a team, so it is a lonely thing, and it is really good that we're all working together. We shouldn't be working against each other.
No, that's absolutely. And what's lovely is you've got five completely different charities, yeah. And they are. They're really. I'm just looking around. Not only do you look completely different, but you're doing, different charities.
Some of us.
I'm the only one with a beard.
I had a shave this morning.
For now, yeah. For now, just bring it. Get yourself back on that microphone. Just tell us, because obviously, the money that's going to help you is it to raise awareness? Is it what other things are we looking at here?
Yeah, it's to raise awareness, and it's to help to put on the big event for us. So, Pride obviously had a fundamental impact on a lot of people's lives last year. We had a lot of people come to us afterwards and say, you know, as a result of coming to the event, as a result of kind of feeling safe and included, they were able to be themselves for the first time ever, which, you know, I can't remember the last time I couldn't actually just be myself. I think I was 17, which is a long time ago. But I still remember how horrible that is of kind of living a lie, of not being able to say to people, this is who I am. So, you know, it's about creating safe spaces for people, creating an inclusive environment for the Isle of Wight, and increasing that visibility for people as well.
Do you know, going back about 20-odd years, I used to work at another radio station, and there was a guy there that was struggling to come out. I'm not going to name him, but he was struggling to come out. And then this newsreader guy turned up, and he was, like, out there, you know, and everyone knew, and he was so confident about himself and so on. And he gave this other guy the strength to, you know, come out and so on and so forth. And you think, here we are 20 years down the line, we're still struggling with it, aren't we? We're still trying to. But it's events like these, people like yourselves, that are going to make it easier for people to live their lives the way they want to live their lives. And hey, what's wrong with that?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, look, we're going to bring in... are you all right there, Karen? She's not. Right. You nodded off.
It's my age.
All
right.
So I was just seeing if you were right. It's not
a speaking party.
Just
cozy.
So you must have a lot of fun, the five of you, getting together and you know, putting
the
world to
rights. Well, we
met
once in the pub.
In the pub.
But I think we need to...
I missed that one.
You missed that one. But we have got this little messenger on Facebook, which we do get some fun messages all day long.
Mostly at my expense, yeah.
Okay.
So far, yeah.
Do you want to just elaborate on that?
Sarah recently put something about...
It was about coming here, and I couldn't make it at the time.
Well, but come in close to that microphone, Sarah.
I said, I will do my best to get here on time, but I typoed, I'll get my vest or something.
Right. There's so been a lot of japes at my expense. Whether she was going to come in and vest.
I don't wear vests. That's even more worrying, isn't it?
I've got my long johns on today.
Have you?
Yeah. Oh. It's cold.
See what happens there. You just ask a question.
Disgusting underwear.
All of a sudden, I don't know what to say. I've lost my train of thought. We've got underwear, vests, and so on.
I think I did make some comment at our photo shoot as well about taking my top off at some point. So I think, you know, I obviously
wanted to show us.
Yeah, there's a
theme. We need to fundraise all the money.
Okay.
For my underwear. Yeah.
We are coming to the end of the interview now. So. Very abruptly.
Yeah, we could do a calendar.
I was going to ask you, this is the next thing. Yeah. Now, this will be over, not for Ian, but obviously it will go blink of an eye, it'll be gone. But before we know it, it'll be back home. Yeah. And we'll be, you know, collecting monies and so on and so forth. And you'll be thinking about how to, you know, to do the next thing and what is the next thing. So what have you got planned? People mentioned stuff in 2018. So what is coming up?
Well, thanks to Emma, who is the chair of Layla's Trust, she came up with the crazy idea that we do an event in somewhere like St Thomas's Square, I think Easter time, where we get spin bikes. Apparently we're going to have 5 spin bikes, one for each charity. There's going to be some kind of spin challenge. But I think the idea is, if I'm right, that Ian wants to fundraise for the 5 charities for the whole of 2018. So it's not just, obviously, his epic ride.
Charlotte's bringing a tiger.
What, on a spin bike? Now that's
novel.
I've got spider monkeys, and I think they'd be quite good on spin bikes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You see them on a spin bike.
Okay. I think Ian mentioned something about he was going to do as many miles that he did in Australia on this.
I think in Easter.
He wants to try and recreate it.
We'll have the 5 bikes, hopefully, and then we'll have another 5 bikes where the public can come along and get on and do a few miles, put a few quid in the bucket to say, you know, well, I did so many miles towards that. There'll be things like Easter egg hunts. I'm hoping to get some bands down there. It's going to be a big one, but it's going to take a lot of organising.
And Sarah's agreed to come down in her vest and pants.
Yeah, Sarah's going to come down and do her vest and pants.
Only if we raise enough money.
I think you'll raise a load of money there.
I'm really sure no one needs to see that.
Yeah. I'm sure you'll be fighting them off. Hey, look, we are running out of time, so we want the technical bit. How do we get involved? How do we give our money? So who wants to have the final word on that?
I don't mind saying.
All right, then.
There is a Facebook event page which you can probably find. Well, I know you can find if you look on any of our charity Facebook pages. We've all been sharing it kind of daily. So that's probably the best place to go to. And then on that event page is the link to the fundraising page. I will point out, Karen kindly set it up through her Challenge and Adventure account. So when you click on it, there is the Challenge and Adventure logo, so people might get a bit confused and think, oh, am I only fundraising for Challenge and Adventure? But it is a joint page, so if they donate via
that page, it is going to all five charities.
We've got about 30 seconds left. I want to say thank you very much for coming in. Thank you very much for the cold that I'm about to get. And I hope it really goes well. I hope Ian gets through it without too many issues at all. And I hope you raise. I know there's a target of £5,000, and I'm hoping you double that. I really do. I think they're worthy causes, and what he's doing is worthy as well, and a real struggle too. But I hope he raises a lot more. Thank you.